Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome to Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from grappling grells to gangly grunts. And today we're talking about Grix.
Prepare yourselves.
Hey Brian.
Hey Will.
How you doing today?
I'm super stoked to learn about monsters.
Now you've had a run-in with Grix. As a matter of fact, you had a run-in with Grix in like your second time ever playing D&D.
Yeah, was it the second time ever playing? Was it the third time?
It was right there at the beginning. Yeah. What do you know about Grix?
They killed my friend.
They did. They killed.
Killed my friend. And they killed ate him
special
right in front
guest
of me.
Jake's first character. Like the second time he ever used him, I felt so bad.
I'm pretty sure that was game three. It had to be.
Sure, game three. Whatever. Yeah, whatever.
But still.
Like, yeah.
He had some moments.
He did.
He was that flightless Aarakocra.
Yeah, he did.
He's dead.
I'll never forget when his Aarakocra was like bathing in the river and making like crazy bird noises. And
yeah, and he impressed all these dwarves with his singing.
With his bird song, yeah.
Yeah, that was like his one golden moment.
Yeah,
in
it
the
was.
Sun
and then he died.
Fucking
he did. He did. So Grix are a bizarre D&D monster that look like they should be eldritch monstrosities, but instead are categorized as regular monstrosities. They live, as many of these horrifying things do, in the Underdark. This worm-like monster lurking in deep caves and dark dungeons has only two driving instincts, eating and breeding. They wait unseen, blending in with the rocks of the caves and caverns they haunt. Only when prey comes near do they rear up and strike. They are a simple creature, and as horrendous as they are really just a form of Underdark fauna rather than some insidious monster. I liken them more akin to a panther or bear when it comes to their role and their given ecosystem.
Okay, like the carrion crawler and like
yeah, a little
like
bit,
that.
Except we're a little less gross, but also equally terrifying.
A little less gross, like the purple worm. Less
sure.
gross, but like more
but also
dangerous.
Less colossal than the purple worm.
Absolutely.
My God. Let's get into it.
Okay.
So a Grix looks like a bizarre amalgamation of a slug worm or leech with physical features of a squid and a bird of prey. The long, wormy main body of an adult Grix is 6 feet to 8 feet long. Its skin is rubbery and uniformly dark with pale underbellies. Their coloration varies from dark greens to blues and camouflages well in the rocky terrain and shadows of their home environment. Its quote-unquote head is less of a head and more of a where this thing's body ends, another thing begins kind of deal.
Okay.
It has a pair of tiny eyes and a large snapping beak surrounded by four large suckered and barbed tentacles. These tentacles tend to conceal the beak unless the Grix is attacking or eating. Your average Grix weighs in at 200 pounds.
This thing, looking at a picture of it, it looks like it should have a proboscis. But like,
but instead it has a fucking
instead
eagle beak.
It's got a bird face.
It's not a face, just the beak.
It's not even a face. Yeah. It's like a it's kind of proboscis-esque. Like cuz it protrudes out of the like literally where the body ends. Like there's like,
it has a beak in the way a squid or octopus has a beak under the
tentacle.
Yeah,
it's more like that. Yeah.
But
yeah.
This beak is way more like that of like a fucking hawk. or I don't know,
a parrot. Yeah, almost. It's got real nice curve to it. It's some almost toucan Sam shit going on.
A toucan beak under there.
Toucan Sam with God. The grapple bite slam, baby. It's going to fuck you up.
Indeed.
Shit will eat your friends.
So Grix are passive predators that don't hunt so much as they simply lie in wait. Kind of like the carrion crawler. Grix are the Remoraz, yeah. Grix are stealthy underground predators that infest dungeons, caves, and other shadow places under the earth, waiting patiently for prey to come within reach. They are adept at climbing and can slither up walls with little difficulty. They drag their rubbery bodies to places where creatures regularly pass, lurking out of sight amid rocky rubble and debris, squeezing into burrows, holes, or crevices, climbing up onto ledges, or coiling around stalactites to drop onto unwary prey. That's horrifying. One of those things just drops
these
on you.
These are the worst snakes.
The worst snakes. Grix will remain in an area until the food supply dwindles. This most often occurs due to sentient creatures becoming aware of their presence and invariably either plotting alternate routes around their lairs or hiring monster hunters to take care of the issue.
How come nobody comes through the cave anymore, Billy? It's the way you drop on them.
I know. You have to drop more with more subtlety.
More subtlety, more speed.
Indeed.
Fucking slouch.
They're not that. They're not smart enough to speak. But if they were, they would sound like that.
That's what the body language translates into.
Indeed. That's how they wiggle about. When prey is scarce in the Underdark, Grix may resort to venturing above ground to hunt in the wilderness, lurking in trees and on cliffside ledges. These creatures are not comfortable under the open sky, however, and return to the subterranean world as quickly as possible.
Hmm.
So they're not about that open air.
Yeah.
It's too cold.
Fuck. Go back down.
Yeah. Indeed. Grix consume virtually anything that moves except for other Grix. They are quite direct and tend to target whatever prey is nearest, grabbing a fallen creature with their tentacles and dragging it off to eat it alone. Grix lair in any sheltered space that can accommodate their bodies, including holes, burrows, ledges, and crevices. They do not collect treasure, but their lairs are likely to contain the uneaten objects as they cast off possessions of intelligent prey. So they can be places to raid. Expert guides and trackers know to look out for these telltale signs indicating a Grix nest is near.
That is cool that you can at least like do something about it. Like other than just like forcing yourself and your party to get ambushed like every time they're around, you can actually like figure it out.
Yes, indeed. Underdark explorers sometimes steal off the routes leading to and from a Grix lair to starve them, then claim the wealth of the foul creature's victims. So
nice.
Yeah, again, they're not very intelligent, and they're not so strong as to just be able to like bust out of you stealing off their lair. Pack hunting Grix can be particularly vicious. They instinctively gang up on prey, mobbing a single target and tearing it to pieces before turning their attention to the other creatures nearby.
Okay, so there's separate, like they can be found solo or in a pack.
The next sentence elaborates.
Okay.
Grix hunt solo, but are more often found in packs of 3 to 6.
There it is. Nice. Okay.
A Grix pack is often led by a single well-fed, oversized alpha around which the others congregate. A mated pair of Grix lay a clutch of oblong blue-green eggs about the size of a human fist. Young Grix are known as Grix wormlings. Grix wormlings are, believe it or not, edible and are known to be served in the Dale End stuffed with rice pilaf and diced celery.
So the big one's not? Little one is?
I guess we're going with the little ones are tender kind of deal, which is fucked up, but whatever.
Like veal.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. The big ones get too tough.
I guess so.
They eat too many people's butts, and then they smell like butts, and you can't eat
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Cured and spiced Grix tentacles are also a common food item. This leads me to believe that Grix could theoretically be domesticated and bred for food. I will now be including at least one Grix farm in my next Underdark adventure.
Damn, what's the snail with the five faces? Five eyes?
The flail snail?
The flail snail.
Yeah.
I can't believe it was that simple.
Yeah, it was.
flail snail farm.
Uh-huh.
Grix farm.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other good farms for D&D monsters?
Like Underdark farms or just monsters in general?
Let's start.
Owlbarrows, I think, is a thing.
Owlbear farms.
They can be farmed, yeah.
Yeah.
Griffins can be kind of domesticated. I don't know if that counts as a farm. Is it a farm if you only have horses? It's a ranch. Griffin Ranch. Is that what a ranch is? Is a ranch because it's horses? And a farm's a farm because it's, well, it's not horses? The difference between a ranch and a...
Difference?
So I could have a Grix farm, but I couldn't have a Grix ranch? Unless, you know, I was riding the Grix.
A farm is a land where a farmer grows crops and livestock for dairy products. Uh-huh, uh-huh. A ranch, on the other hand, is a land where livestock such as sheep, cattle, goats, and pigs are raised.
Oh.
A rancher works to maintain the grazing grass is essential for the livestock animals. So it's a primary function thing, not okay. necessarily.
So
like
the
Grix,
so raising the Grix for meat would be a ranch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to Grix Ranch.
Welcome to Grix Ranch. Don't go in the back without supervision. A Grix Ranch would be like next to like, what if like Stone Giants had a Grix Ranch?
I could see that. I mean, they dwell in the same lair, and I think a Stone Giant can handle Grix pretty well.
Right. Like,
and I don't think they mind the tougher meat either because they're fucking Stone Giants. They like
anything,
it when
right?
stuff's tough.
Eat rocks like yeah. Gorons.
They don't need no rice pilaf.
They don't need rice pilaf. What is a rice? That shit don't grow down here.
It's true. It really doesn't.
I just eat Grix.
They eat pickled Grix.
Pickled Grix. Oh, I bet they eat it with mushrooms.
Yeah, absolutely.
What did we just read about mushrooms, sautéed mushrooms?
Fungus on the baby intellect of ours, the Oostalagors.
That's yeah, right. That was last episode.
They were spicing it up with some fungi.
Man, I wonder if there's anything in the Heroes Feast cookbook about baby Grix, like adolescent Grix.
I think, okay. So the Heroes Cookbook, is that like the book that like simulates adventure?
Yeah,
like
it's
meals?
It's real. Like they convert yeah. the recipe to
right.
But there's lore in that book about like certain things.
Okay,
like,
so I think
normally this would be made with this mystical creature. You right, can use right.
Okay,
chicken.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think.
So I think if you were trying to replace Grix meat with mm-hmm. real world meat, the closest thing I can think of is something that I don't even know where the hell you would get it living in California, and that's lamprey.
Okay.
Like, which is like a type of eel.
Right.
Yeah, and like it with the proboscis and all that, they're really gross looking.
Yeah, reference Mind Witnesses episode.
Indeed, but in Game of Thrones, in the books, I don't really remember in the show them talking about it, but like lamprey pie, and there's all kinds of lamprey meals that they eat in the world of Westeros. But yeah, I think, yeah, that would, eel, you would have to replace it with eel, I think.
Just straight up eel. I love eel. That's one of my favorite sushi rolls.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do love eel in my sushi. So Grix sushi.
Oh, shoot.
I would eat Grix sushi. There's your rice pilaf.
Can you imagine Stone Giants being like sushi chefs?
Yes, absolutely.
That's a great one.
Dicing up them Grix.
It's dark down here. We're cutting fish.
In case you didn't.
Except it's not fish, it's Grix.
In case you hadn't figured it out, I don't have anything else on Grix, and me and Brian are padding the episode.
It's a Kuotoa roll.
Brian, do you have the stat block for us?
Yeah. Sorry, this one's kind of short.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I meant to add another animal to this, but guess what? I'm having a baby, like, tonight or tomorrow, so I'm out of time.
Maybe,
short episode, sorry.
Maybe I'll pad the back with a skit.
That'd be cool.
I had a skit in mind, and special guest Jake is going to help out with some stuff, so maybe mm-hmm. there will be a skit at the end. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
We got Grick, medium monstrosity. It's neutral. Armor class is 14.
It's neutral. It never takes sides.
It's got natural armor. Yeah, it don't care. It's just trying to eat. Get eat on a ranch.
I'm surprised it's just not unaligned.
Yeah.
Because it's really just an animal.
I can't wait to see what its intelligence is. HP is 27 or 68. It's got a movement speed of 30, a climbing speed of 30. That makes sense. That's so fast.
It is.
You climb so fucking fast. Yeah. Just doesn't care.
It gets up a wall 30 feet in 6 seconds.
Yeah, these are tremors that just don't dig. Mm-hmm. Fucking tremors. Do you think there's a Tremors movie where it's like, they stop digging. They're just above the ground now.
No, because that would take a lot of like...
They did do that. They fly, though.
They did?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they start flying.
In which
That's
one?
That's the Ass Blaster in 3. They call it the Ass Blaster.
I never saw 3. Methane. I saw 1, and I think I've seen 2.
Yeah, 1 Anyways, is so good.
1 is great.
Everybody's been talking about Tremors in the comments.
Yeah, because it's a great movie. About Tremors. Maybe I'll add that to the labor list. My fiance's asked me to make a list of movies for the labor. Oh, yeah. I'm adding Tremors to the list.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. We got the abilities. 14 strength, 14 dex, 11 con, 3 intelligence. So, yeah, that makes sense. So, what is it? The little mind dog.
Intellect devourer.
An intellect devourer can...
Is it safe from it or no?
No, it can find this thing.
Oh, man, poor Grix. They don't stand a chance against that thing.
Against anything, really, does it look like.
They're challenge rating, too. They're not bad.
They're actually not bad. 14, 27 HP.
You've
HP.
Seen, personally, Grix kill a man. So don't tell me they're not that bad.
I should have been over there with him. But I used the mobile feet to go fight a wizard.
You did. You dove right in. I went past
like 6 guys.
Poor Icarus just got devoured and dragged away by Grix.
Okay, anyway. Intelligence 3. Wisdom 14 and Charisma 5. They're pretty good, except like their social skills and their thinking brains.
I mean, I don't think you could blame them for having poor social skills.
They're almost people.
So not close. Really. No.
They resist bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage from non-magical / stone giant.
Dude, there it is. They do have tough skin.
They do. They got tough skin. They have dark vision of 60 feet, passive perception of 12. They don't speak any languages.
Even if they did, I don't know if their mouth could handle language.
Yeah.
They got a toucan beak underneath some tentacles.
The challenge rating 2, proficiency bonus is 2. They get stone camouflage. The Grick has advantage on dexterity or stealth checks made to hide in rocky terrain. Mm. The Underdark is pretty much all rocky terrain.
That's kind of its deal.
Wet.
Yeah, unless it's artificial terrain.
Mm. Multi-attack for the actions. The Grick makes one attack with its tentacles. If that attack hits, the Grick can make one beak attack against the same target. So tentacle is a melee weapon attack with +4 to hit, a reach of 5 feet on one target. It's going to do 9 or 2d6 +2 slashing damage. Mm. The beak is a melee weapon attack that is +4 to hit, reach of 5 feet, one target. It's going to do 5 or 1d6 +2 piercing damage.
Okay.
Straightforward.
Yeah, it's straightforward. There's an Alpha Grick that I guess you could read if you want to. It's just going to be everything the same but bigger.
a buff version of these stats.
So I don't know if you have any thoughts on this guy. I have one, and that's I like these guys. I think they're cool. I just think they're interesting and weird and scary, but also silly looking. And they were responsible for one of my first actual like player deaths.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
And they'll always have a special place in my heart for that. And
I use them to kill a fantasy bird.
It's just like, and the thing was like, it wasn't like I didn't send you guys into something that was overpowered.
No.
I didn't like roll particularly well or bad. It was just like some poor decisions were made and then there was some bad luck on some saves and like a death just, it just happened. And like, we were all surprised by it, but also like it really went well with the story.
Yeah. A man died. A new man was born.
Showed up later, yeah.
Who was just an absolute fucking train of a character. Was.
Yeah, that should have been our first sign that paladins are OP as fuck.
Is that guy came in and started
shit, sorry, my bad.
Jake's next character was virtually unkillable.
Yes, so. He was.
If you don't want to die, play a paladin.
True that. Anything else?
I was going to piggyback off of like how you're saying you like these things. I like the ecosystem feel of it. You know, like this is just a part of the food chain.
Yeah.
One of those things. Like,
there's been a few of these monsters now where they seem like a monster, but it's like, oh no, they're just like another member of the food chain.
Yeah. So I imagine like the Underdark has animals in it that aren't listed in the monster stats and stuff like that. You know, probably like.
I'm sure it does.
Bats or like.
Yeah.
There are salamanders and lizards and stuff that like just see in the dark.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
There's probably like cave crabs.
There's fish.
Yeah.
Cave crabs? That sounds horrifying.
It's a thing. They don't need to see either.
In real life, that's a thing. There's crabs that live deep under in the caves.
In the caves underground, yeah. It's
scary as fuck.
All these animals in the system I'm thinking of are like albino white or, clear. Right. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking of things I've seen and yeah, I know what you mean.
Crabs. I think they eat bat guano that like comes down the little river stream.
Oh my gosh.
Like, they do stuff like that.
Disgusting ecosystem.
Perverts.
How nice.
So your Underdark could be filled with like really interesting stuff like that that scales up to things like the Grick or scales up to stuff like the Flumph. Like the Flumph is kind of like a food chain item, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty well established. The Underdark in D&D is a very populated place.
It's rich. It's diverse. Yeah.
It's not like caves underneath the earth, which are like barren and rock. And that's all they are. But like, no, there's ecosystems, fungus monsters, entire societies, and they all hate each other.
It's its own alien world, and it's dark, and mm-hmm. it's under.
Yep, indeed.
Yeah. So that's what you know. You need to know. I like Underdark episodes, like how we flesh out more of it every time we talk about it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, damn, I need a place for this. Or like actually like running the Underdark for a campaign. Like you have to think about what the layout of this place is actually going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, there's a fucking giant lake over here. Like there's a tunnel system here. There's like, you know, it goes down elevation, down, down, down. Like you think you should not be going this far deep. Like, oh, fuck, what am I doing?
Right.
Like you can't see. You can see a mountain peak when you're hiking. You know you have to go up it. But in the Underdark, you have no fucking clue.
No. You have no, what's it called?
Spatial, like, or, like, regional. Well, a ranger who specializes in Underdark could. Like, you were talking about, like, Underdark travelers.
Mm-hmm.
People that use the Underdark. I'm sure there's, like, a roped section, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we can go this way, and it's not that treacherous. It's like walking through the woods.
What I'm trying to say is you don't really have a context for... You don't really have a context for direction or distance in the Underdark.
Yeah, unless you're a specialized like ranger class, and then that's a good advantage to have. So if you know like with your players up ahead of time, like we're going to have an Underdark campaign, so just guys know that and role play how you will. So one person wants to be like, okay, well I'll be the ranger,
right?
And like we can actually navigate this place, or that there's a DMPC doing something like that. Because if you're just a bunch of like, know nothings. The Underdark is a tough place.
Indeed it is. You ready to build a beholder?
I'm ready to build the beholder.
This is our first new beholder.
No, I think we started it last time.
Did we start it last time?
Yeah.
God, I can't keep track of this. We need to pull up the list.
We will pull up the list.
See you guys on the other side.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the long rest where we're building our beholder. But before we do that, I need to get cozy. Where's my slippies? Here they are. Wonderful. Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
Now we can talk about.
Okay, so we're struggling with this one, mostly in the beam direction. We have
a lot of ideas.
You want to go over the feature first?
The feature is going to be a big rancher-style cowboy hat.
No, what? No, it's not. I thought it was going to be the stone skin
you're
thing.
You're right. Okay. Stone camouflage.
Although I love the rancher hat, but like...
Let's give it the hat.
Well, but then we haven't done anything actually Grick-related. Grick Ranch, like maybe this guy can be...
Listen, we make the rules here.
Fine. He has a stupid rancher hat.
It's not stupid. You said you like it.
I mean, I do like it. I just don't think it actually fits, but that's fine. I mean, it does fit because we put it on his head.
Yeah, it'll fit. It has to. Hobbleman will make it fit.
Hobbleman now has to do the... I guess the eye socks come... He can make strategic holes for the eye socks to go through in the hat.
Okay. Yes!
Got you.
Absolutely.
But what
it's
about
big.
Our bean?
It's a big hat.
What about our... you know what? He ranches Gricks, and where does he get his Gricks from? From his fucking interdimensional Grick beam.
Yep. It has to be that.
Yeah.
I don't know what else it could be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be it. He's got a Grick beam. A beam that fires Gricks.
It fires Gricks.
Yeah. Once a turn, he gets basically, it's like summoning a Grick to help him fight.
Yeah. And
he's a great Grick rancher. So he's got them under control.
So is it like, you know, beam of energy hits like a point on the map and then a Grick appears there? Or is it like a beam of energy opens up a port, like fires and opens up a little portal and a Grick like falls out of it? And it's like, oh shit, where am I? Or like the thing like opens
okay,
up
new
and
idea,
fires a
new
Grick
idea,
out of
new
it.
Idea, new idea.
Okay.
Beam is a like a rancher's whistle that summons any Grick within a mile radius that can hear it. The Gricks come calling because he's a Grick rancher.
He fires into he blows into the eye on the tentacle, and it's got a whistle on the back of it that just like comes out the back.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
The arch should have one
like
tentacle
we,
to the mouth.
I feel like
and Grick's falling from the ceiling.
No, they don't fall from the ceiling. Well, maybe if they are on the ceiling, they come. But like. We have precedent for this. Hold on. I got to go over Cruel Eyes. I know Cruel Eyes had a beam that was the roar beam where it just was a roar.
Yeah.
And there was another one.
Roar.
Yeah, there was another one. Hold on. The brain juice beam was a squirt. Like, so we've done this before. Like where instead of an eyeball at the end of the tentacle, it's another thing that does a thing.
Yeah.
So this is like a little Grick mouth that makes a Grick call. And then that call calls Gricks that are under the rancher's control.
That call calls Gricks.
Yep.
Grick call.
We did it.
Fuck yeah.
Success.
I'm loving the rancher hat. It's
I know.
It's the diversification we need.
Sure.
And the diversification we deserve.
Sure, absolutely. You were really married to the hat. I had to let you have it.
Well, you said you liked it. So
I do. I do like it. I just...
Just imagine
glad,
the end. We've got,
I'm
a,
glad
dolphin,
we got
a dolphin boy, somebody that looks like they're wearing a coat, but they're not. And someone with an actual hat. It's fucking rules.
All right.
It's perfect. This is going to set a tone for the stuff we do later. Like, remember, he's a rancher.
Yeah, he's a rancher.
Eats,
yeah.
He eats Grick veal.
Absolutely. He raises them and they listen. He's a Grick whisperer.
The Grick whisperer. A pack of Gricks follows this beholder down the halls of its lair.
Okay. I think we can call it a game.
Let's call it a game.
We'll talk to you
later. Find us on Instagram and Twitter or Discord or whatever. Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.